All right, we're holding by the first mission on Lummen Bays on the Bays, about halfway down the white line. Yesterday we learned all about the we learned about the extra brachas at Shemona Esrei and the relationship of them to the Tchias. So now continuing on that topic, overlook now Teva B'Yom Tov Shor Rosh Hashanah, the person who davens by the Amud on Rosh Hashanah, Hasheni Maktia, the second Baal Tfila, is the one who causes the shofar to be blown. Meaning, then as now, you usually had a different Baal Tfila, a different chazan for Shacharis than for Musaf. So, the second one, meaning the one who's davening Musaf by the Amud, is the one who causes the shofar to be blown. So he's the one who says the brachas. He's the one who, during his brachas, during his chazaras hashaf, is when they blow shofar. There is an interesting thing. The Baal Amor, the Baal Amor wants to say, based on various gemaras, that actually you should be saying all the nine brachas that we discussed yesterday, the regular six, and then Baal Fei Sechonis and shofar in all the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah.
Who says about
the Baal Amor says it, but only in Musaf, as we're saying over here, would he actually blow shofar. The Ramban in Milchamos takes very strong exception to that. He says we never heard of such a thing anywhere, and in fact, nobody has that minhag. Nobody follows the Baal Amor in that. Everybody just says nine brachas by Musaf. So that's what we're saying over here is that the one who davens Musaf is the one who says Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofar, and that's when they blow Shofar.
Where did he take it from the Baal Amor?
The Baal Amor takes it from his understanding of different Gemaras. He says that the idea is we're saying that these brachas are meant for Rosh Hashanah, so why should they be limited only to Musaf? Mishora Shalacha, he says the basis of the halacha should be that on Rosh Hashanah you never have seven brachas; it's always nine brachas. The one thing he says he proves it from he brings as one of his proofs to Gemara in Brachos that mentions that there's nine brachas on Rosh Hashanah and it doesn't specifically say Rosh Hashanah Musaf. Anyway. But the Ramban says that's very nice. But the fact is, the Goyim and the Minhag of all Jewish people is that you daven seven brachos the rest of the Shemona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, and nine only by Moshe. Yeah.
We don't touch Baal Averis. Do we need nine for
eight? No, that's has nothing to do with Averis.
But the choice of Ayoveh Lifnei HaTeva is...
No, that's the usual expression. Ayoveh Lifnei HaTeva. Somebody who comes in front of the Teva means to daven by the Amud. Yeah.
Not over
in that sense. Come on. Okay, so anyway, Hasheni Maktia, the second Baal Tefillah, is the one who makes the shofar be blown, which, by the way, Mepharshim point out, the point of the word Maktia is also he himself shouldn't be the one, the Chazan himself shouldn't be the one to blow shofar, because he may get mixed up. Remember, in those days they didn't have Sidurim, everybody died in Baal Peh. So better he shouldn't be the Baal Tekeah. Yes, because they didn't have Sidurim yet. But so therefore, he shouldn't be the one blowing shofar or get mixed up. Rather, he should make that somebody else. He finishes the bracha, and somebody else blows. In practice, in Shulchan Aruch says nowadays that we have sidurim. In principle, the Baal Tefillah could blow shofar if there's nobody else. Otherwise, if there's somebody else available, yeah, better let somebody else. Uvishasa halo continues the Mishnah at a time when you say halo on other Yom Tovim. Harishin makaris halo, the first Baal Tefillah, the one who davens shacharis, is the one who has the people say halo. Or actually, he says halo, and they all answer after him.
So that means what? You don't
meaning, mean, no, it means in other words that there's a difference between Tekiyas and Hallel. Tekiyas takes place during Musaf. Hallel, when you say Hallel, takes place after Shacharis, which is what we do. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Sheni Matkiyah, why are you telling me the second one is the one who makes the Tekiyas happen? Mishum de Beroivam Hadras Melach, because then you have the advantage of Beroivam Hadras Melach, you have more people there at Musaf. Some of Horsham to say the Torah Evan says very simply, people come late to shul, so not everybody is there at Shacharis yet. Everybody is there by Musaf. The Radvaz gives a very interesting explanation. He says even little kids should be there for Tekiyas Shofar, which in practice we try to do. Little kids in the morning may still be asleep. By the time of Musaf, they'll already be awake and be able to be in shul. Be that as it may, comes Musaf, you're going to have more people there. So you're going to tell me that's why the Mishnah is telling you that it's telling us that you delay the Tekiyas until Musaf, but Ihochi Halal Nami. Well, then the same thing should apply to Halal. Name of Hasheni, you should have the second Baal Tefillah say, you should say Halal after Musaf. In other words, Mishum Dibrodovam Hadras Melech. You have the same thing with the greater people, the honor of the king. Ella, so no, what are you going to say? Maishna Halal Dibrodusha, and so what are you going to say? No. So why are we doing Halal? Why is the first Baal Tefillah doing Halal? Why are we doing Halal after Shacharis, in other words? Because you have the opposite advantage. You have the earlier to do the mitzvah, the better. Well, Tekiyanami Nevet Gerdishin, Mishum Dezuzin Rakdim and the mitzvah. Well, then you're back to the question, why about Tekiyas Shofar? Are you delaying it? Rabbi Yochanan b'shas zerach hamalchus shanu. So Rabbi Yochanan says this is talking about this took place at a time of zerach hamalchus. What does that mean? Rashi says there was a point at which the goyim made a gzera that you're not allowed to blow shofar. They would be watching for them in shul throughout the first 6 hours of the day, which is the maximum time that you can daven shacharis. After that, they'd figure, forget about it. They're not going to bother anymore. So the musaf, the guards are already gone, so therefore you could safely blow. So therefore they moved it to musaf.
Was it Roman?
So Rashi doesn't say whether it was the Greeks or the Romans or what have you. Tosfos gives a different explanation based on the Yerushalmi. One time, the Yerushalmi says, everybody had gathered together in shul to blow tkiyas by shacharis, and the local goyim heard the shofar blowing, and they thought they're blowing trumpets. They're going to war. They're revolting, whatever. And they went and started attacking them. So therefore, the chachamim figured like this: make it that you have all of shacharis. You have kriyas shema, you have shemoneh esrei of shacharis. You're reading the Torah. Then you first come to musaf, and then you're going to blow a shofar. Already then, the goyim are going to realize that's not cold. That's not a cold battle. That's just, you know, it's a Jewish religion.
Where's early
in the morning? They're going to think, yeah, it's an alarm. Yeah.
But like it could still be like around 10 o'clock or 10 or 11 that they would be able to be doing shofar if you start at mid.
Yeah, well, it depends what time you start, obviously, sure. But, and sure, in shul, if it's start early, it'll be early. But still, the point is, either way, even though the point is, according to Tosfos, so according to Rashi, you're right, they would have had to do it after 6 hours. I mean, technically, musaf, you can daven all day, although the Gemara says in Brachas, you're really only supposed to daven it until 7 hours in the day. And if not, you're called Peshea. So fine, then, you know. Any musaf, yeah. So, they could, according to Rashi, they could wait till after 6 hours. Shachar's time is already over. You still have an hour to do musaf. So during musaf, then it's when you do shofar blowing. According to Tosfos, it's not a matter of 6 hours or whatever. It's just a matter of you have a whole sequence of davening first. They didn't necessarily have in those days Sukkah de Zimra and all the other preliminaries that we have. They would just start with Shema. So therefore, once you have Shema, Shemana Esri, Kriya Satara, then already, you know, then already the local goyim will realize that they're just practicing their religion.
Different ways of serving
them. Yeah. I can see that it's not just yet. Historically, we have the one time in history, the famous thing where the Alter Rebbe blew shofar first thing in the morning, the story over there when he versus the other tzaddikim about Napoleon, should he win or not, that the Alter Rebbe gets up and blows shofar first thing in the morning.
For
him not to win, right. Yeah.
Which battle was that?
That was when Napoleon invaded Russia in 1812, a few months before the Alter Rebbe passed away, yeah.
Heard that?
No. In Shemayim, they realized it. And the other tzaddikim of that time also, one of the Alter Rebbe's colleagues, I think it was the Koshnitzer Magid, realized that the Alter Rebbe had blown. Realized Ruach HaKodesh that the Alter Rebbe had blown first, and he said the Litvak HaKodesh Kachat, the Litvak, meaning Alter Rebbe from Lithuania, has beaten us. Yeah. Anyway. Reb Levick, the Rebbe's father, explains in Lakuta Levi Yitzchak that there's a deeper idea in it over here that Shacharis is more a matter of Chesed because it relates to Avraham Avinu, and Musaf is more a matter of Gvura, and therefore shofar blowing more appropriately should be by Musaf in order to sweeten those Gvura, and he associates it also when we say B'Shach Gzera Samalchus, he says that it besides the simple meaning that it means that there was a Roman or whatever it is Gzera against shofar blowing, he says on a more deeper level that it means that Rosh Hashanah is a time when Malchus is like being split up, like Dumitza Dizal, the worlds are asleep until we reawaken Hashem's desire to rule over us with Tzias Shofar, and therefore it's appropriate to do it by Moses. Igmar says, Midrash Kama B'Shach Halo. Well, the Mishnah had said that the Mishnah had said at a time of Halo, then the first Baal Shacharis is the one who does Halo. Mikal the Rosh Hashanah like a Halo, which implies that on Rosh Hashanah you don't say Halo. My time, why is that? It's a Yom Tov after all. Because Amru Malach HaSharet Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malach HaSharet Aseid in front of Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Mipnei Ma'ein Yisrael Omim Shirut Lefanecha B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim, why do the Jewish people not say a Shirut to you on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Amru Lahem, he says to them, how could they? Efshem Melech Yosheva Kisidin, how is it possible? The king, meaning me, the Eivishter, is sitting on the throne of judgment. The Sifri Chaim, the Sifri Mesim, Sukhim Lefana. The books of the living and of the dead are open in front of him. The Yisrael Amim Shira, and the Jewish people should say Shira. It's a serious time. In other words, yes, we have confidence that the Eved is going to judge us favorably. Oh, before, it's not a time to say Shira. Now we don't want to tempt him. Maybe Shah doesn't get tempted like that. No, on the one hand, actually, it says in Shulchan Aruch that we do celebrate Rosh Hashanah for that reason. We wear Yom Tov clothes, we have nice meals, etc., because we're showing that we have confidence that the Eibishter will judge us for good. But first, it's not. You're not in the frame of mind to be saying Shira.
We don't say Hallel.
So we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah.
I never realized.
Yeah. In Shulchan Aruch, it does say if your Yom Chilim happens to come out that you're saying Hallel on that day, then fine, you say it. You know, you have people, for example, who say Chilim divided according to the day. I may as well use this one. You have people who say Chilim divided according to the days of the week. So suppose, you know, Hallel comes out in the Chilim for Yom Shishi. Suppose, for example, the second day Rosh Hashanah comes out Friday, then yeah, you can say Hallel as part of Chilim. But then, yeah, we're not talking about that. Mishnah says, Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, ein ma'aviron olav ha'tchum. Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to cross over, you're not allowed to pass the tchum in order to get one. Let's say, for example, Rashi gives the example that, let's say, in your town, there's nobody who knows how to blow shofar. The next town over there is, but that town is outside of your tchum. Obviously, if you put down an air of tchum and two tchum, a Shabbos, but whatever. You're not, even though it's only osim midrabbanan who walk outside the tchum, and shofar is a mitzvah d'oraita, the chachamim are able to tell you to not do a mitzvah when it's a matter of sheval tafse. When you're doing it passively, that you're not going to do the mitzvah d'oraita by a passive action, by not going, they're entitled to do that where it's going to cause you to violate a din d'rabbanan. You're not allowed to go outside the tchum to hear shofar. Yeah. The ain mafakchin all of a gal. You can't dig up a pile of dirt or rocks or whatever. Let's say. No, so you in your town won't be able to listen to shofar because you're not in a place where there is one. The other town will have. Yeah. The ain mafakchin all of a gal. You can't uncover a pile of dirt or stones. Let's say the shofar was inside a building that collapsed. You can't dig the rubble up to get the shofar because again that would be osim midrabbanan. Loy Erlin Be'ilin, you don't have to climb a tree, let's say the shofar is on top of a tree. Veloy Roich Ben'agav Behema, you can't ride on an animal to go get a shofar, that's also awesome job on it. Veloy Shotin Opnamayim, or swim in the water, either some of Farshim say it means the shofar is in the water, let's say, and you're swimming to go get it. And the Rambam learns that, for example, the shofar is across the river, let's say the shofar is on the other side of the river, and you're swimming across in order to get it. You're not allowed to swim, we learned in Beit Sedi, you're not allowed to swim, Midrabanan, because you might make yourself a flotation device. The ein choitz chinoi, so you're not allowed to cut the shofar, ben b'davar shom mishum shavus, whether you're using a tool that would only be osim midrabanan, which the Gemara will give an example, or ben b'davar shom mishum loisese, or whether you're using a tool that would actually be osim midraraisa, a tool that's the normal kind of thing to use to cut a shofar. So the point is, all these things, we're saying, even though these things are only osim midrabanan, but if that's standing in the way of you blowing shofar, we don't say set aside the Rabbanon in favor of the Din D'oraisa. No, since the Din D'oraisa, it's a matter of sheval tafsa, that you're passively not doing it, the Chachamim have the power to tell you not to do it. As opposed to if a Chachamim were telling you actively do something to violate a Din D'oraisa, that you can't do. But here it's not active, it's passive. To put a chassidim from Rav Zevin has a story about one of the chassidim of the Alter Rebbe, Rav Zev Valenkis. At one time he was one time he was traveling in a carriage on Erev Rosh Hashanah together with one of the prominent Litvish Rabbanim, Rav David Luria of that time. It's getting late in the day. Rav David realizes it's getting late. We're not going to get to our destination before Yom Tov. You're not allowed to ride in a carriage on Yom Tov. So he's getting ready. He's about to go out. He's about to get out of the carriage. Reb Zev runs over, Reb Zev jumps over to the driver's seat, throws the driver into the back, takes over the reins himself, and starts going as fast as he can, so in order that Reb David can't jump out of the wagon. He says, I learned from the Alter Rebbe what it means, what shofar on Rosh Hashanah is all about. What, I'm going to stay here in some favorfin village without and miss shofar blowing? Okay, they'll give me Malkus and Shemayim for having violated Yom Tov, but shofar I'm going to hear. They didn't put that story.
This was before Yom Tov?
No, this is right before Yom Tov.
Right, just before Yom Tov.
So according to strict halacha, Rav David was probably right. You have to stop. You'll stay in some far orphan village. You'll miss shofar. Well, what can you do? That's what the Mishnah says. You have to do. Rav Zev wasn't going to put up with that. They didn't put that story into the English translation of Sukkot Siddur. By the way, I guess the art school editorial board didn't like the idea.
Yeah, they don't want to encourage
them. No, it was in the Hebrew original letter. Yeah. Abel continues the Mishnah. Imrot the lichtim l'seichem mayim ayayin. If you want to put water or wine into the shofar to clean it out, so you'll be able to blow with it better, you think then you're allowed to do that.
On Yom Tov.
Spasemis points out that, I mean, if the situation is that you can't blow with the shofar unless you put water into it, unless you clean it out with water, you're right. Of course you can't do that on Yom Tov. That would be fixing up a keli.
Yeah.
But we're talking about you're able to. It's just you're washing it out in order to make the sound clearer. So that's fine. Mishnah continues. Ein ma'akvin such a nokus militskaya. You don't have to stop children from blowing on Yom Tov. You can work together with them. You can help them practice until they learn. What does that mean? Help them practice? Does it mean you yourself can blow to show them how to do it, or does it just mean like you can hold the shofar for them or whatever, but you yourself can't actually blow? Different Rishonim argue about that.
I remember at the congregation I grew up at, they used to have a shofar blowing contest for kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But somebody was practicing, or misasik, we said the other day, can also include somebody just like playing around with the shofar and accidentally blows. We'll talk about it more in the Gemara. Lo yotze, he's not yotze. Vashemem, misasik lo yotze. And somebody who hears from somebody who is misasik is not yotze either, because like we said the other day, you have to have kavana. Yeah. So the Gemara asked my time, why are we saying that you don't override a dindir abanan to get a shofar in any of these cases? Because shofar esahu, the mitzvah of shofar is a mitzvah esah. The Yom Tov Esav Alois Esav, and Yom Tov is an Esav. For each of the Yom Tovim, there's an Esav rest on it, and there's a Lois Esav don't do Malacha. In Esav, there's Lois Esav Esav. So an Esav does not override a Lois Esav and an Esav. So that explains why you can't do things Daraisa to hear Shofar. Isurim Daraisa, like we said, for example, cutting it. Because the Esav, Shofar, can't override a Lav and an Esav. And then when it comes to the things, that we're saying it certainly doesn't even apply. It doesn't even override a thing daraisa. It certainly doesn't. It doesn't override an iser daraisa. Why doesn't it override an iser derabanan? Because like we said, the derabanan are empowered to do that. To say that you can't violate one of their dinim where it's only a shevval pasa. The Mishnah said, that you can't climb a tree or ride on an animal, etc. And the Mishnah had finished off that the Mishnah had given examples that some of these examples in the Mishnah. For example, the Mishnah had started off going outside the tchum, which is definitely the Rabbanan, but then it continued, for example, with riding on an animal or climbing a tree, which, after all, those are a stronger kind of shvus. Why are those also? Because you might come to do an iser daraisa. So hash the Rabbanan Amrit Loi, if you started out by saying in the Mishnah that you can't do things which are purely Rabbanan, like going outside the Tchum, Daraisa Mevoya, how much more so you can't be over on things which could lead to an Isur Daraisa, the Sarashi explains the question. The answer is, yeah, Zubayn Sarach Zuloi Mekatani. The Mishnah is saying it in as an anti-climax. Not only are you're not allowed to do something Rabbanan, and needless to say, you're not allowed to do something which could lead to a Daraisa.
As opposed,
because otherwise you'd have to explain why is the Mishnah first putting things that are Dirabanan and then putting things that are Daraisa. Usually you think the other way around. Say you can't be over on things Daraisa and not even on things Dirabanan. Then once in a while we have to answer that the Mishnah says things in an anti-climax form.
Maybe to remind you to begin with that even Dirabanan.
Maybe.
You shouldn't forget.
Okay, could be. Rabbi Hananel seems to have a different girsa over here, and in fact, even Rashi himself says that I don't really like the girsa of this question in the Gemara. It seems like an odd way of asking.
Yeah.
Rabbi Hananel seems to have a different girsa. That's the other way around. That digging up a pile of dirt or going out of the tchum might even be also min haTorah. So why you're first mentioning that, and then you're mentioning the things that are banan, then you're mentioning the going up a tree or riding an animal. And so forth. And the answer is, yeah, it means that you're not allowed to do things that are daraisa, but not even things that are derabanan. The usual.
Now the order is more
logical. Yeah. The Mishnah said, "Vein chos chenoyz ben v'davar shom shom shvus or ben v'davar shom shom lois." That said, you're not allowed to cut the shofar whether with something that's only also midrabanan or something that's also midaraisa. What are some examples? Mishum shvus would be magla. Something that would be also mishum shvus would be we use a sickle. That's not a normal thing that you use for cutting a shofar, for shaping a shofar on weekdays. Loitza says sakina, something that would be awesome. But daraisa, as a loitza, would be using a knife.
Could
you use a sharp knife? I don't know, cleaver or something? Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. The Rif actually has the gears the other way around, that a knife would be awesome to drabon, and a sickle, which is a harder tool, would be awesome to daraisa. Anyway. Again, the question is, you're telling me you're not allowed to use something which is awesome to drabon, needless to say, you can't use something to daraisa. Why does the Mishnah put it in that order? And again, the answer is zubayin sarach lemazupatani. The Mishnah is telling us it in anti-climax form. Drabon, and certainly, obviously, you can't do daraisa. It's not common for the Mishnah to do that, but sometimes we have no choice but to explain a Mishnah that way. Then the Mishnah.
Because
usually we would expect to say, the lesser Chiddush, and how much more so the greater Chiddush. Yeah, but sometimes it's the other way around, yeah. And the Mishnah said, Avalim not to listen, let's say, Chamayim Ayayin Yitin, that if you want to put water or wine into the shofar, you can. So the Gemara points out, mayim or yayin ein, that the implication is you can put in water or wine, may raglayim loy, but you're not allowed to put in urine, even though that would also be good to clean it out. Masnissin mani abashol, who is our Mishnah like? That would be like abashol. The Tanya, abashol, mayim or yayin mutter kedei l'tachtecha, you're allowed to put in water or wine in order to clean it out. May raglayim osim if ne'a covered, but you're not allowed to use urine because of the covered. We say right. There are some Rishonim who explain that. No, that's not Bashal. But there are actually some Rishonim who say that there Meiraglaim, because Yomtov says that there Meiraglaim doesn't necessarily mean urine. That there may mean water from a spring called Raglaim. Why shouldn't you bring it into this message? Because it sounds like Meiraglaim. Here, obviously, we're not talking about that. Here, we mean the literal Meiraglaim. When it says mifnei covered, what does that mean? Some of the Foshim say it means because of the covered of the mitzvah. Others say it means because of the covered of the Baal Tekeah. So there are some Rishonim who argue, if the Baal Tekeah wants to be mochel on his covered, fine, he can be mochel. The Alter Rebbe doesn't paskin that way, though.
Yeah, I don't think we should.
He paskins that it's a matter of busy mitzvah. That
I
would be a matter
for
of honor.
Anyone, for anything, we don't do something like that, that would be as cool as that would be.
Well, it's not like you couldn't wash it out with water after that, but yeah, okay.
Something that's only putting up to the mouth.
Okay.
If you want to have someone up,
you know what? Back in those days, they used to use it quite commonly. You know, it is antiseptic after all, and it is a good cleansing agent. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. The Mishnah said, "Ein ma'akvin es hatinokus milaskoyah," that you don't have to stop children from blowing on Yom Tov, which implies the Gemara says, "Hanoshim ma'akvin." That implies that if women want to blow shofar, you should stop them. Why? Because they're potter from the mitzvah. Because then, so Rashi says an interesting thing.
So the children are also.
One second, that's what we're going to talk about. The point that Rashi has an interesting expression over here. Rashi says that if women were to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, since they're not chayav in it, it would be an issur of baltoisif. The Marsha asked him, what are you talking about, baltoisif? Baltoisif means to add to a mitzvah, like we said the other day. An extra tzitzah, an extra parasha and tefillin, an extra bracha and birchas kohanim, whatever. What on earth does baltoisif have to do over here? The different Mepharshim talk about the different possibilities. Rashi may mean that it's similar to Baal Tosif, or that you're doing something that you're not technically chayav, and it appears like Baal Tosif, whatever. Yeah.
They're not chayav.
They're not chayav because Mitzvah says Hashem Mangrama.
To blow or to hear.
Either one. Yeah.
We saw that the other day.
No, we didn't have that the other day. But now we're going to have about that. So Vahatanya, but we learn in a Braisa, Ein Ma'akvin Loyas Anoshim V'Loyas Atinokas Milakoy B'Yomtiv. You don't have to stop either women or children from blowing on Yomtiv. Amar Abaya, like Kasha HaRab Yehuda HaRab Yosef Rab Shimon. One is according to Rab Yehuda, or Mishnah is according to Rab Yehuda. The Braisa is according to Rab Yosef and Rab Shimon. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, about the Pasuk introduces the concept of bringing a carbon, and it mentions that, among other things, before you bring the carbon, you have to do smicha, you have to lean on the animal. And the Pasuk introduces it, daber al b'nei Yisrael, which implies b'nei Yisrael soimchen, only the sons of the Jewish people, meaning men, have to do smicha, v'ein b'nei Yisrael soimchen, but Jewish women do not do smicha. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, I mean, Nashim Tzemchus Rishus. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say women are allowed to do, they don't have to, but they can do smicha if they want to.
Whereas Rabbi Yehuda
says they can't. So what's the point, therefore? That Rabbi Yehuda is saying if a woman is potter from a mitzvah, then she's not allowed to do it, period. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon are saying, okay, she doesn't have to do it, but she could do it if she wants to. Applying that over here to shofar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then women are potter from shofar because mitzvah says has mangrama. Therefore, they're not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You want to blow for them because they're hay, but they themselves can't blow to be mighty themselves. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon would say they want to blow because
they're hay.
They're not obligated, but they could. Tosfos has a very long discussion of this whole issue. As when it comes to smicha, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that women don't do smicha. When it comes to shofar and lulav and all the other mitzvot of shazman grama, actually, the Rambam also paskins like that. That, in fact, women are, for example, the Rambam says, they want to hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah because they don't hate, but they can't make the bracha on it.
According to the Rambam.
Because they're not obligated. Tosfos has a very long discussion of it.
They cannot make bracha. The Rambam says they can do smicha if they want to.
No. The Rambam says they can't. The Rambam says they don't do smicha. They don't do. And as far as shofar, sure, they can hear shofar. Yeah, there's no issue in them hearing shofar. Right. But they can't blow it themselves, and if they do, then they can't make a bracha on it. Tosfos, on the other hand, has a long discussion over here based on a Gemara that we had in Erevin about women and tefillin, based on various other Gemaras all over Shas. Tosfos concludes that indeed, actually, women are, that halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Women are allowed to do mitzvah sefer shazman grama, and they are allowed to make a bracha on it. That machlokas eventually comes down to in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber paskins like the Rambam. The Ramah paskins like Tosfos. And therefore, and thus we have, to this very day, that Ashkenazic women do say brachas on these things. They do say, if you're blowing for Ashkenazic women, if you're blowing shofar for them on Rosh Hashanah and with the tefillin, then they make the bracha. When they sit in the sukkah, they make leishah basukkah. When they take lulav, they say amatilas lulav, etc. Whereas Sfardish women do not, because they pass in according to the Mechaber, who in turn passes in according to the Rambam.
Is that one of those things that, like, kinyos that are... very much changing within certain groups in Israel, probably not known.
No idea.
But how can you say there's two halachas then?
There's not two halachas. There's different opinions. The halacha has never been official. The same way as, for example, back when there was Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, you wanted to do, we learned it earlier in the Masechta, you want to do like Beis Hillel, go ahead. You want to do like Beis Shammai, go ahead. You have to be consistent. You can't pick and choose when you have two dinim that contradict each other. But until the halacha is officially decided a certain way, you're entitled to follow whichever opinion you want. Yeah. So Sfardim are entitled to paskin like the Bishyot. If Ashkenazim are entitled to paskin according to the Ramah, when Mashiach comes, then the Sanhedrin will get together and decide once and for all what the halacha is for the whole Jewish people.
So the halacha is
not yet. Right. Then the Mishnah said, you can work together with children until they learn how to blow shofar. Amar Rav Elazar, afilu b'Shabbos. This applies, they're even allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. Taninami Hachi, we learn similarly in Braisa, when the Misaskin b'Hem Adshiyomadu, afilu b'Shabbos, that you can work with them until they learn how to blow shofar, even on Shabbos. Continues the brayta, the ein ma'ach b'natinokus milaskoya b'Shabbos, but you don't have to stop children from blowing on Shabbos. The ein sarachloim b'yomtov, and needless to say, you don't have to stop them on Yomtov. There's an obvious contradiction. Hagruf akasha, amet misaskin b'hen actually yom do after the b'Shabbos. You're saying you can work with them until they learn, with, even on Shabbos, almol hachilah amin tiku, which means even lachchilah, you can tell the kids, go take the shofar. It's Rosh Hashanah shachalias b'Shabbos. Let's say, take the shofar and practice. But then the Braita continues that you don't have to stop them, which implies you don't have to stop them. If they themselves pick up the shofar on their own, you don't have to stop them. But we don't tell them, go blow shofar. So what is it? Do you tell them to do it, or do you just not stop them if they go start doing it on themselves, on their own? The answer is, the Gemara says, like Asha, can the katan she'idia l'chinuch? One is talking about a katan who has already reached the age of chinuch. He's already of the age of chinuch to hear shofar. Therefore, Rashi says, in that case, then you do misaskin b'hem. Therefore, lachatchila, you tell them, go practice blowing shofar, so you'll know when you get older how to blow it. Kan b'katan shleig, you know, l'chinuch, as opposed to a child who's not yet of the age of chinuch, don't encourage him to, but you don't have to stop him because he's not yet of the age of chinuch anyway, but you don't have to stop him.
Fine,
whatever, yeah. Tosfos explains according to a different girsa, which it seems that also the Rif has a similar girsa to Tosfos, that it's actually the other way around. That if the child is of the age of chinuch, then you don't have to stop him, but you shouldn't encourage him either, because he's already of the age of chinuch to know that you shouldn't be blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which is on Shabbos. Whereas if he's loyig yilachinuch, then you can tell him to go ahead, because he's a little kid anyway. He's too little to.
Yeah,
Basically, there's, I mean, there is...
When it's not on Shabbos.
Well, so one second. So there are more details in this also. There are a lot more details in this also. First of all, Mefarshim discussed the question, are we talking about when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, or are we talking about a regular Shabbos? Also, then how does all this apply to Yom Tov? So in Shulchan Aruch, what it says is basically like this. If a child is blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shechalis, Shabbos, actually, you do stop him. The Beis Din is responsible to stop him. Why? Because you don't want people to think that you should blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shechalis, Shabbos. If they hear the kid blowing, they're going to think you should blow shofar on this day. It may not be an issue for him himself, but you don't want him to be makshil other people.
That's according to...
Tosfos actually points that out. Then, if it's on Yom Tov, if it's on Rosh Hashanah, which comes out on a weekday, then yes, you're allowed to have him blow. He can blow as much as he wants when he's of the age of chinuch, because then he's practicing for the mitzvah. That's fine. Adults, on the other hand, not. In principle, shofar is muktzah on Rosh Hashanah. Once you use it for the mitzvah, you can't keep on blowing stanazoi. So when we say misask imahem, then the halacha is it doesn't mean that you can blow for them. It means you can help them. You hold the shofar for them. You show them how to position their lips, etc. But you can't actually be blowing it when it's not the time of the mitzvah.
So what about Chabad, who goes and marries shofar?
But you're carrying it for a purpose. You're carrying it to be most the other people. You're allowed to move the shofar and you're allowed to blow with it as long as you're doing the mitzvah. And you have. It's not just it's more than just the basic mitzvah. We're going to talk about the next missionary is going to talk about that the basic chiyuv minatoda is only 9 shofar blasts, and we do 130. We do 100 during davening and 30 after davening. All that is fine because it's all halacha or minhag or whatever it is. So that's fine. And later on, when you're going on mitzvah shofar, also you're doing it for a purpose. But stam to just go practice blowing on Yom Tov, an adult can't do that.
And also to help someone who didn't get the chance to
hear. Right, that's the thing. You're doing Unmit for Shofar. Yeah, you're going to people who haven't heard yet. The Mishnah continued around Mr. Asik or Yotza, that if somebody is practicing and they're not Yotza, so the Gemara says, Hotcha Kaelashu Yotza. So what? You're telling me then the implication is if you're practicing, you're not Yotza, but if you're playing Shofar as a song, you're Yotza. Lema Messiah Leila Rava. Well, can we say then that this supports what Rava said? We had the Soviet the other day. On Yom Tov, Dama Rava Hatakeil Ashir Yosef. A person blows shofar for singing. He's Yosef as a song. He's Yosef. The answer is not necessarily Dama Hatakeil Ashir. Not a Misasik Karlei. No, the Mishnah might be using the word Misasik in a broader sense. Misasik would mean any time a person is blowing shofar not for the purpose of the mitzvah. So it would include practicing, but it would also include where he's playing it as music. And then the Mishnah would be
music, he is
according to
Rava.
According to Rava, so Rava would have to explain that the word misasik means specifically practicing.
Right.
But according to the other opinions, and in fact we said the halacha is not like Rava,
right.
according to most Rishonim, right. The halacha is not like Rava, Hatakeil Ashir is not Yotze, then yeah, what the Mishnah by Hamasasik La Yotze means if you're practicing, and also if you're playing it as a musical instrument. Then the Mishnah said, "Bashamayim and Emesatik lo yotze." If a person hears shofar from somebody who's practicing, he's not yotze. So what? The Gemara says, "Aval Hashemayim and Mashmila Atzmei." So what? If you hear from somebody who's blowing just for himself, not having you in mind, what the implication is? You are yotze. Lema kevet yufta did abzera. Well, then this seems to be a contradiction about against abzera. The Amalei Reb Zera L'Shamay, we said the other day, also on Yom Tov, that Reb Zera said to his shamish, "Ikaven utkali, have kavana and blow shofar for me." He meant, you have to have kavana to be moitzi me. Our Mishnah seems to be saying the person who's blowing shofar does not have to have you in mind. He just has to, as long as he has himself in mind, he's being meaning to be yotze the mitzvah, and that's good enough. The answer is no. I'd not necessarily dilma. I did tana reisha misasik. You could just say, since the first part of the Mishnah he had to use the word misasik, tana sefer nami misasik, so in the second part it also says misasik. But really, the Mishnah doesn't only mean misasik. You, in fact, according to Nebzeda, you would not be yotza unless the other person has you in mind, or, as we said, unless the person is blowing for the tzibur and he has generically everybody in mind. And that's takad halacha. Misasik does taka mean a person is only practicing, or takeil ashir. It does not include if I'm blowing shofar for myself and you happen to overhear it. That's not misasik. But the Mishnah means more than just misasik. The Mishnah is just using the word misasik for parallelism. It really also, unless I have you in mind, then you're not yotze.
So misasik is strictly meaning shir or practicing.
Right. Yeah, that's what we're saying.
That's what we're saying.
But that doesn't contradict Reb Zera, because the Mishnah is only mentioning Musafik, it's not mentioning other possible cases. Mishnah says, the last Mishnah of the Masechta, Seder Tekiyos, the order of the Tekiyos, is Shalosh, Shalosh, Shalosh. Three groups of three each. The three each is a Tekiyah through a Tekiyah. The three groups are one for Malchus, one for Zechronus, one for Shofarus. We see, by the way, the Mishnah is not talking over here about the Tekiyos that we blow before Musaf. We learned back in the first Perek that the Gemara had said that the reason why we blow Shofar first Kshein Yoshrin and then Kshein Omdim is we said Kedela Abrav as a Sapan in order to mix up the Sapan. But really, the Ikur Chiyuv is what we do in Musaf. And Mepharshim have a bit of... Not before Musaf. So the fact is, I mean, we say the bracha and we do the ones before Musaf. And then afterwards we don't do a separate bracha for the ones for Musaf. Yeah, there's also some Rishonim talk about there's also the idea of Zuzan Maktim and the Mitzvahs in it, even though we said before that we can't do it in Shacharis, but at least we do it before Musaf as well.
Really, theoretically, we have to do it with the Brachas and Malchias.
That's what we're saying. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Yeah, that's what the Mishnah is going to talk about, yeah. Shir Tekiyah for Shalosh Truas, the length of a Tekiyah is the equivalent of three Truas. And Shir Truah for Shalosh Yavavas, and the length of a Tekiyah is three Yavavas. A Yavava is just a short sound. So a Tekiyah is, we'll say, a Truah rather, we're saying is three of those, and a Tekiyah is the equivalent of three Truas. Now we're going to talk about in the Gemara, a little bit today and more tomorrow, that there's various opinions what exactly a Truah is. When the Torah says Truah, what does it mean? Does it mean what we call Shvarim? Does it mean what we call Truah? Or does it mean both? So Tosfos has a very long discussion over here. You can see the Tosfos takes up the whole Amud discussing the details of given that we end up saying we do all three kinds, what does it mean exactly when we say that a Tekiyah has to be three Truahs and a Truah has to be three Yavavas? What length does that actually come out to? And then, and also, for example, it gets into the question, when you're doing Shvarim, you have to make sure that each Shever is not too long. If it's too long, it becomes a Tekiyah. Shvarim is right. Truah is yeah. And the Tekiyah is a straight sound. Yeah. So in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about it at some length. There are different opinions based on this whole thing of what exactly you do. So in practice, the proper thing to do is to make sure when you for the Tekiyahs that you're doing before and after Shvarim Truah should be as long as a Shvarim Truah together, which means since the Shvarim each have to be what we say is like this. The accepted halacha is that the Truah has to be the equivalent of nine short sounds, because there are opinions that say that Yavavis in our Mishnah does not mean, like Rashi says, just it means a longer sound, it means something more like a Shvarim. So therefore, Truah has to be nine short sounds.
The duration,
at least nine. You can do more than nine. They say that Evan Maharash had a particularly, had strong lungs and was able to do 72 of them.
Yeah, but that's a
key,
isn't it?
That's true. 72 times, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But the minimum is nine. The Shvarim, there's three, and always three. Mepharshim talk about Rishonim talk about, are you allowed to do more than three Shvarim? Theoretically, you are. In practice, there are Rishonim who say that you should only do three, and that's the minhag. Our minhag Chabad is that we do three and a half Shvarim. And then do the Truas. So the equivalent of nine short things for the Truah, the equivalent of nine for the Shvarim, because each Shever is the equivalent of three of those short ones, and therefore each have to be the length of 18 of those short ones. When it comes to the Tashat and Tarat, the Tekiyas on either side of the Shvarim and the Truah, those Tekiyas can be shorter, because then it only has to correspond to the length of the Shvarim or to the length of the Truah.
Both sides.
Yeah. But the other detail you have to be careful of, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to be careful that each shever shouldn't be too long, because you make it any longer than three, than the equivalent of three, of three, you make a shever any longer than that, it becomes a tekiyah. Or possibly it becomes a tekiyah, according to the different opinions. Yeah.
That's how we say machmir on shortening the...
Right.
Not too much, but just enough.
Right.
Got it.
Right. Mishnah continues. We had this before. Talk about Ishaina. If you did the first Tekiyah, the first Tekiyah before the Truah regular, or Moshach B'Shniyah Kishtayim, and then you do the second one after the Truah twice as long, meaning for it to count at the end of the first group and the beginning of the second one. Ein Biyadel Achas. It only counts for one. Because, as we said, the Gemara said the other day, we said everybody agreed to that, because you can't split one tekiah in two. And actually, the Gemara had ended up saying, you can't have half a tekiah anyway, so you could be yotzeh on that and on those grounds anyway. But yeah. We did say actually there's a machlokas rishonim whether it means, Rashi had said it means it counts only as the first tekiah, you have to blow the second tekiah over again, but fine, at least you have the first tekiah. There are rishonim who say that it means it doesn't even count as a tekiah at the end of the first group at all, because you didn't have it in mind to be only for that. You had a wrong intention in mind, and therefore they say it means you have to start over from that from the second tekiah. Okay, well, different ways of looking at it. Continues the Mishnah. Misha Beirach, if somebody davened the brachas of Musaf, v'achakach nismana lo shofar, and only then did he get a shofar, so he didn't have a shofar during Musaf, he didn't have a chance to do the tkiyas during the brachas of Musaf. In yod el achas, I skipped back. Takeo Maria, takeo shalosh parmim. Then after Musaf, he should do the three times tkiyas through a tkiyah, to count for malchus, sechernus, and shofar. You couldn't do them during Musaf, so fine, do them after Musaf.
Made the blessing.
Now, he not made the blessing as in Lashmaya Kol Shofar. Made the blessings means that he davened Shemana Esrei. Imagine you have a tzibur that doesn't have a shofar. They davened Musaf. Right. They didn't blow shofar during Musaf, during Tefillas Lachash, or during Chazaras Hashas, as the case may be. After Musaf, somebody brought them a shofar. That's what we're saying. Then they should blow the tekiyas that they were supposed to blow during Musaf. As opposed to, you don't say that, they don't say that they have to daven Musaf over again. Another din, kashem shashliach tzibur chayev, just as the shliach tzibur is chayev to daven the nine brachas of Shemana Esrei, kach kol yochid b'yochid chayev, so also every yochid is responsible to say that. Rav Gamliel, no, shliach tzibur, moitzi esrami dechavasan. Rav Gamliel says that the shliach tzibur is moitzi everybody their obligation. Meaning the shliach tzibur says the brachas of Shemana Esrei, and everybody listens, and they're yotzeh that way. We'll talk about in the Gemara, we'll get to on the last daf, What does he hold that only on Rosh Hashanah? Does he hold it more generally? Yeah.
Is that the also the halacha?
Well, technically yes, but in Shulchan Aruch it says that because nowadays they say piyutim in the middle of Shemana Esrei, in the middle of Chazaras Hashas, the piyutim are a hefsek. Therefore, people cannot be yotze their chiyuv of davening Shemana Esrei by hearing Chazaras Hashas. You have to daven your own brachas.
I remember hearing Rabbi Herschel Schechter saying that. If we're not that possible of a davener, what we should do is we should just skip the piyutim.
Fair enough. That's in Chazaras Hashas, because that's where the piyutim are said. Right. Okay. But that's a different matter. But if the chazan is saying piyutim, as is usually the case, then you can't be yotze davening with Chazaras Hashas. You have to say your own shkilo shmoneh
esrei.
Things
in the davening, because there's a lot of.
If he says piyutim for
heat. No, the chazan usually in the Chazaras Hashas says piyutim.
Right.
Piyutim.
Right.
But there's something extra I know that I will say in the regular davening.
Well, nowadays that everybody has Siddurim, you don't really have the excuse that you're not Baki. In those days, nobody had Siddurim. But in those days they also didn't necessarily say Piyotim.
Right.
But you had no choice. You have to be Yotim with the Chazan because you don't know the Nusach of the Brachot yourself.
And what do the people in Cyprus say? They all do.
Okay, so then in that case, that's the thing. They still do Chazaras Hashas. But the point is that even according to Rav Gamliel, what we're saying is everybody has to daven Shemana Esrei themselves. Everybody has to daven most of themselves. And then the Chazan repeats Shemana Esrei. That's what we're saying.
As opposed to
just saying that I'm not going to daven Shilu Shemana Esrei. I'm just going to listen to the Chazan and be Yotze that way. That doesn't work. Yes. Yeah. Tosfos does discuss over here, by the way, at some length, about the question, do you blow during Shtilo Shemana Esrei or only during Chazaras Hashas? Different menhagim there are nowadays. There actually, it's not just Tosfos. There are other Rishonim discuss it also. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings both possibilities that you should blow during Shtilo Shemana Esrei and again during Chazaras Hashas, or only during Chazaras Hashas. Minhag Chabad is to do both. Minhag Ashkenaz is only in Chazaras Hashas. Tosfos also discusses another interesting thing, by the way. We're saying that you only have to blow three shofar sounds after each one of the brachas. Now, okay, nowadays we do more because we're not sure what a trua is, whether it's a shvarim, whether it's a trua, whether it's a shvarim trua. We'll talk about that more today and tomorrow. But do you have to blow all of these sounds after each of the brachas? The Tosfos says actually that not. The minug in Tosfos' times, and the minug is still in some places nowadays, they blow tashrat after Malchus, tashrat after Zechronus, and tarat after Zechronus. So they only blow one of the three types after each of the brachas. And Tosfos discusses, why should that be so? You should have to blow all of them, which is takal aminu. The answer is, Tosfos says, okay, but we didn't want to be matriach the people. You were basically yotze already with the tkiyas miyoshev, the ones before Moshe, trying to be matriach people to do a whole sequence of 10 after every one of the brachas.
The real fear some during the...
Okay, but since nowadays we do the ones before Moshe, and that's the ones we say the brachas on, and that's the ones we yotze with, then already the ones during Moshe are kind of extra in that sense.
You know they're the most important ones.
In a way, they're the most right. So, but for that reason, actually, in Shulchan Aruch it says the best way to do it is takta, which is our minhag, is you do all 10 each time,
right.
And that way you're covered no matter
that's what.
Yeah. There's various other minhagim also. There's one minhag that there's a minhag in some places that they do only tashrat for all three of them, because that way, no matter what, if it's shvarim you're covered, if it's shruah you're covered, and if it's both you're covered.
We do
tashrat after each one of the three brachas. So the Gemara asks, Valtanya, you're telling me the Mishnah had said that the shiur of the tekiah is the equivalent of three teruahs. Valtanya, but we learn in a brisa, shiur tekiah ketruah. The length of a teruah is equivalent to a teruah. Amar Abaya, Tana didan kachash of tekiah to kulabavi or teruah to kulabavi. The Tana of our Mishnah is counting together. He's counting collectively the tekiahs of all the three groups and the teruahs of all three groups. Whereas the Tana from the Braisa is just counting one group. According to Rashi, in other words, it comes out, the Mishnah and the Braisa are basically saying the same thing, just in different words. The Tana of the Mishnah is saying the total length of all the tekiahs, the total length of each of the three tekiahs preceding and the three tekiahs following the truas is the equivalent of the three truas. If each truah takes 10 seconds, let's say, if each truah takes 10 seconds, the three truahs together take 30 seconds. Fine, so the three tekiahs together also take 30 seconds. And the three tekiahs after also take 30 seconds. Whereas the braisa is just saying, okay, a truah is 10 seconds, a tekiah is 10 seconds. So it comes out to the same thing. It's just different ways of expressing it.
Each one.
Whether you're counting all three of them together or whether you're counting only one of them. There are other Rishonim who learn differently. The Kesef Mishnah, I think, says that the Rambam explains the Rambam to be saying something different. That the Mishnah and the Braisa are in fact arguing about the length of a tekiah versus a truah. Whether we're saying that the truah has to be the length of both tekiahs, the one before it and after it, or just the length of one tekiah. Then the Mishnah said shiur truah kegimul yavavus, that the shiur of a truah is like three yavavus. Valtanya, but we learn in a brayta, shiur truah kesholosha shvarim. The shiur of a truah is like three shvarim. So we said, Rashi says yavava is just shvarim would be So what is it? Amar Abaya, baha vade pligi. In this case, when it came to the previous thing, fine, we could say the Mishnah and the brayta aren't necessarily arguing. In this one, you have to say they're arguing. Because the Pasuk says, Yom Truah Yilachem. The Pasuk says that you have to have a day of making a Truah, of blowing a Truah. And what does Truah mean? Omer Targuminin Yom Yavava Yehelachon. The Targum translates it as it should be a day of Yavava. Targumunculus. And what did Yavava mean? Uchtiv Ve'imei de Sisra. It says by the mother of Sisra when she's at the end of the Haftarah of Bishalach, when she's waiting for Sisra to come home. Meanwhile, she doesn't know he's never going to come home. He was killed by Yael. But she's standing there and crying. What's taking him so long? But the pasuk says, "Va'adachalon nishkava v'atiyabev em Sisra." The mother of Sisra is looking out the window and v'atiyabev crying. So we know that Yavava means crying. Now, what is crying? Mar sova genuchi ganach. So the Braisa holds that crying means sobbing, like a person who sobs. Mar sova yulula yalu. Whereas our Mishnah holds that it means wailing. A bunch of short sounds like that.
Sobbing is longer than wailing.
Sobbing is longer than wailing, yeah. There's an interesting thing. Sefer HaTodah has an interesting vort. I don't know if it's his own or we got it from somewhere about why are we associating the tekiahs of Rosh Hashanah with the mother of Sisra and her crying? This is a very interesting idea. What do you see in the Shira over there, in the Shira of Devorah? Sisra's mother is crying. Why is he so late? And what are her, so she herself, a mother, should realize, you know, what it's like to lose a child. She's crying for him. What are her advisors and her maidservants and whatever telling her? You know, good things must be going on. They're harassing the Jews. They're violating the women, etc. Yeah, and that satisfies her. So that kind of thing
was
Sisera was a Canaanite general who was oppressing the Jewish people and was killed in that and was killed by Yael. So therefore, like we counteract her cruel kind of crying with the tekiyas of Rosh Hashanah. But after all, he says there is in many places there's a minhag to blow 101 tekiyas on Rosh Hashanah, 100 during davening, and then one afterwards. Our minhag is we do 30 afterwards. But okay, why 101? Because first, after all, she is a mother. You still have to respect the fact that she did have feelings for her son. But the rest of her 100 that she's crying and then she's getting calmed down by thinking of what kind of cruelties he's doing, those we want to counteract. Anyway. So that's the machlokes then, that our Mishnah is saying that a truah is short sounds, what we call a truah, and the Braisa is saying that it's what we call shvarim.
Is the only source in the Torah that brings the body baba?
Yeah. No, that's the one. Turn it up on him. We learn in a braise. I mean, nayin shebe shofar. How do we know that you're supposed to blow when it says you have to make a truah? How do we know it has to be with a shofar? Talmud lomar, but how about a shofar truah? By Yom Kippur of Yovel, it says you should pass through a shofar of truah. So we see that the truah has to be done with a shofar. Ainli el v'yovel. Well, that would only tell us that happened on Yovel, but a shonim nayin. How do we know on a shonim no shofar? Talmud lomar, b'chodesh hashvi. The pasuk says that you do this on Yom Kippur, which comes out b'chodesh hashvi. This is all in parshas Bahar. We know from other places in the Torah that Yom Kippur is in Chodesh Hashvi. It means you call truas. It means that all truas that are being done in the seventh month in Tishrei have to be exactly alike. So if you have to do the ones on Yom Kippur using a shofar, then you have to do the ones on Rosh Hashanah using a shofar as well. Continue. Continuing. How do we know that you need a straight sound of kia before the truah? Talmud lomar v'havarta shofar truah, because it says v'havarta. V'havarta means you pass through, like a long sound that passes. And how do we know that you have to have a pshuta after it? Talmud lomar taviru shofar, because the whole pasuk goes like this. V'havarta shofar truah, v'havarta shofar truah v'chodesh hashvi v'osa l'chodesh, b'yem if you put him, taviru shofar v'chol ha'atchem. So it starts out with havarta, then truah, then taviru.
First
it says Avarta, which means the Tkia, then Trua, which means the Trua, Shofar Trua, which means the Shofar, which with you blow Trua, and then another Taviru, which tells us another Tkia. The Ainli Yalav Yovel, okay, still that only tells us Yovel, but Rosh Hashanah Minayin, how do we know on Rosh Hashanah you have to do the same sequence? Talmud Lomar, again, B'chodesh Hashvi. She'en Talmud Lomar B'chodesh Hashvi, again, the Pasuk doesn't have to say B'chodesh Hashvi. What's the point of saying that Yom Kippur is B'chodesh Hashvi? Again, she called Truas, B'chodesh Hashvi, Zeh Kazeh. Again, it means that all the Truas throughout the seventh month, both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, have to be exactly the same. Then how do we know you need three groups of three each? Talmud Lomar, B'havarta Shofar Truah, we have three sukkim. One by Yovel where it says B'havarta Shofar Truah. Number two is a pasuk by Rosh Hashanah that says Shabbos and Zichron and Truah. And the third one is also by Rosh Hashanah that says Yom Truah Yilachem. So it mentions three times in the Torah, blowing, so we know that it means three times.
Three
truas. It says three truas, right. And since we learned from Yovel that each one has to have a tekiah before and a tekiah after, the question still is, though, still, though, how do we know that what applies to one applies to the other and what applies to the one applies to the other? In other words, one of these psukim is about Yovel, two are about Rosh Hashanah. Maybe it means on Rosh Hashanah you have to blow two sequences, tekiah, truah, tekiah, and on Yom Kippur you have to blow one. How do we know that on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, you need three? How do we know that you combine them together and apply them to both?
It couldn't be two for the Yovel and one for Rosh Hashanah.
No, because one pasuk is by Yovel and two are by Rosh Hashanah.
Ah.
Yeah. Talmud Lomar, Shvi, Shvi, L'Gzeir Shava. No, the Torah tells us the word Shvi to make L'Gzeir Shava. By Yom Kippur it says by B'chodesh Shvi, and by Rosh Hashanah it also says B'chodesh Shvi. So it's L'Gzeir Shava. Okay, so what does it mean? You get end up with Sholosh Shein Teisha. You have three groups, which comes out to nine altogether. And the bride continues, Shia Tekiah Ketrua, the length of a Tekiah is the length of a Trua, Shia Trua Keshloisha Shvarim, that was the bride that we brought before, now we're bringing the whole bride. The length of a Tekiah of a Trua is like three Shvarim. Again, this bride holds that a Trua is composed of Shvarim, not what we think of as a Trua, unlike the Mishnah. So you want to ask, Haitana, the Braitha seems to have switched gears in the middle. Haitana me'ikra ma'isu lo b'hakesha. First, Braitha starts talking about a hekesh, that we're saying b'chodesh hashvi, it means that we're making a comparison that everything in chodesh hashvi has to be the same. All of a sudden, v'hashta ma'isu lo b'gzeir shava, and then he ends up using a gzeir shava, shvi, shvi. So why did he switch gears like that? The answer is Hachakama, what the Braita means to say. Ilav Gzeira Shava, if it were not for the Gzeira Shava, Havamaitin and Labhakesha, we would have been able to use the Hekesh to learn it. Hashta, the Asu Gzeira Shava, now that we have the Gzeira Shava, Hekesha Lai Tzarech, then it's true, we actually don't need the Hekesh.
So what do you do with the Hekesh?
So what do you do with the Hekesh? So Mefarshim talk about, the Pnei Yeshua talks about, for example, that you need both of them because we said, if we only had the Hekesh, we would know that everything during the seventh month has to be the same, but we still wouldn't necessarily say that we combined together the two of Rosh Hashanah and the one of Yovel to make three for both of them. Only a Gzeira Shava can do that. So we kind of need both. We need the Hekesh to tell us the whole concept that we're making this comparison between that every Tshuva has to have a Tziyah before and after it, that it has to be done with a Shofar, etc. And we need the Gzeira Shava to tell us that we're actually combining everything together and then dividing it and then doubling it basically and then multiplying it by the two times Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to get nine Tziyahs on Rosh Hashanah and nine on Yom Kippur. From the fact that we have a Gzeira Shava, because if we only had a Hekesh, we wouldn't be able to do that.
With
a Hekesh, we would just know that they have to be done with a Shofar, that you need a Tkiyah through a Tkiyah, but we wouldn't know that you need three sequences of them each time.
Yeah.